The Holy Spirit really dealt with me this week about last week's message and the Great Commission and a scripture that I used there found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But dealing with that scripture, the Spirit of the Lord dealt with me in prayer over and over again about a word called identity. Identity. The difficulty that the individuals in the church have, and no one is immune to this. You know that the world tries to steal your identity, right? It does its best to congregate in your mind who you think you are, who they want you to think you are. And what happens is you miss who you really are. When you watch a lot of TV, you start identifying with people on the television, you know, and you start to identify with that lifestyle. You get somebody at work that you know really well, and you begin to identify with them and start to replicate some of their characteristics or their character traits that they have. You got to be really careful because human beings, which all of us are very impressionable. Very impressionable. That's why we parent our children right. We want to impress in them what their identity is as a child, who they are and who they represent. Well, in the body of Christ, as we're in a church, no matter what size a church is, whether it's a small church or a mega church, it's a problem. The church has an identity crisis right now. It really does. And it's having a difficult time realizing who they really are because they are not acting like they should. Because if you realize who you really are, you're going to act like you should. That was an amen moment, but that's okay. And literally, you know, it's something that we have to look at. I love the little emoji I put up there, you know, your identity, you know, like, wow, who am I? Or who's my wife think I am? Or who's my husband think I am? Or who's my best friend think I am? Who am I? I mean, it's a deep question. It's a question that's actually very profound. Who am I? What am I? What do I do? So just who do you identify with? That's the big question. Who do you identify with? And the statement of who am I is there. It's big. Who am I? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say, who am I? Well, most of all, most people would say I'm Dennis Adams, you know, or your name. Or you would say if you were married to someone, you'd say, you know, I'm the wife of or I'm the husband of, you know. Or I'm the father of if you have children. Or I'm the friend of somebody's. You know, there's this identity crisis going on. And I'm going to throw everything out there today. So get your catcher's mitt ready. We have a very hard time today with sexual identity. Another amen moment. That's okay. We have that problem. And, you know, we're not to judge all of these people and all that stuff because there's people have identity problems that they end up being deeply into addiction. We have an identity problem in America now as an opiate addicted nation. Huge. I talked with somebody the other day who's very deep into opiates and their lifestyle is a mess. And yet they feel like they're really a good Christian. You know, Jesus wasn't stoned. Yeah, that's right. Okay? Jesus didn't shoot heroin. He didn't take Oxycontin. He didn't complain about a pain and get Oxycontin because he needed Oxycontin. He literally was the Son of God. That was his identity. Amen. You see, that's what we have to understand, what our identity is. Who am I? You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a friend, I'm a developer, I'm a leader, you know. And then I get all alone and I say, I'm not really like this. And then I got to be reminded by God, yes, you are. Because sometimes I get this really insecure identity about myself. You know, I mean, I want to want you to look at yourself today and be honest with yourself, because this is crucial, because the Lord our God, the Savior of our lives, is about to do something on this earth that's going to be very powerful. A little prophecy there for you to hold on to and put away and everything else. And, you know, God uses me in the prophetic all the time, but I just want to say, or the word of knowledge, however you want to take things there. But it's important that you, you know, keep these things in mind. Something is about to happen, and you have to be able to identify with it, or you're going to miss it. And it's not going to be the same thing as you've read in the Bible. It's going to be totally different. It's going to be God-based, but we're always looking for something to happen like 20 or 30 years ago and a great move of God, or 40 or 50 years ago and a great move of God. No, it's going to be different. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be alive. It's going to be breathtaking. It's going to be relieving. Amen. And you're going to be thankful. Yes. Amen. Now, you know, you have to kind of be real with yourself. Like, who am I? Before I get into the scriptures, I'm just giving you an introduction. I don't know. I may not really preach. I'm just kind of talking. I know that. But I hope to get excited. But I am a little tired. But the point of it is that... You know, when Jesus ran around with those 12 messes, okay, everybody in church wants to act like that would never be. If I was a Jesus, I'd know exactly. You know what? I will tell you right now, if I was one of those disciples, I would be a mess also. Because this guy was major spiritual. I'm sorry if I said this guy about the Lord. I'm just being real here, you know. He knows what I meant. But he was major spiritual. Everything he did was spiritual. He walked on water. Come on, how many walked on water the other day? You know, I was down at the ocean the other day, and I looked down there, and the tide pool's the lowest it has been in a long time. And first of all, I'm not going in that ocean because it's got sharks. But anyhow, I literally knew that there. You know, and I wasn't about to go walk on water. I have a hard enough time walking on sand. I walked on sand to get down to where the place was, and I was like, tripping all over the place, worrying about my tennis shoes getting dirty. You know what I'm saying? That whole thing, and they did get dirty. But, you know, the whole thing, you know, you just sort of get to that place. He walked on water. When everybody was hungry, he took loaves and fishes and fed 23,000 people. It says 5,000 men, but it was all, you know, men had children and wives, you know what I'm saying? And it was all there, and he fed all those people. Could you imagine? I would have loved to have been there. Could you imagine every time he reached in, more was there? And then they took back some. He knew, Jesus knew what his identity was, but he asked those 12 messes, who do you think I am? Who do the people say that I am? And all of them was, oh, you're a great teacher, you're a great rabbi, you know. But Peter, the one that you would think would never come up with the right answer. You see, I'm a little spiritual on you here. You know, sometimes you may think you're never going to come up with the right answer, but God's going to give you the right answer. You know, so and he just came up and said, "Why, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God." That was his identity. You know, there's churches blossoming all over the Bay Area right now. All over the Bay Area, churches are bam coming up. You know, there's a church that just started over there. At work, and they're dealing with YWAM in San Francisco. And their identity is this: we are here to make Jesus popular. That's their identity. Hillsong is there. Their identity is worship. Vibe is there, which means life. Their identity is life. A lot of churches don't even know who they are. Jesus' little church didn't know who he was. They just got a kick out of hanging out with him. You know, he would never sleep. He'd never eat. And he was doing all these miracles. Could you imagine the conversations? Man, this guy is, he's amazing. And you know, when Jesus, now listen, I want you to understand, this is what happens to us. when Jesus took those, I don't know, maybe 200, 300, 400, 500 there at that time, and he literally told them who he was. You know what they did? They turned and left him. Because when you find out who God really is, sometimes you want to don't want to be there. You find out who Jesus is and you just don't want to kind of hang out with him. And the 12 stayed with him. You know what they said? I love the answer they said. He said, well, where aren't you guys going to leave? He said, no, we don't have anywhere else to go. Isn't that something? We don't have anywhere else to go. But if we did, we probably would, you know, but I don't have anywhere else to go. And they hung out with Jesus. And Jesus started to give them an identity. And they said, we would never leave you. We would never leave you. We would never forsake you, Jesus. They left him. I will never deny you. He denied him. Peter did. Then the rooster crows. Everybody left him. Do you know who never left him? His mother. You know, and there's people that want to have that go mom attitude, you know, and they're not even thinking about Jesus. Now they're thinking about themselves. You know, Mary took his identity when he was born. She held him in his arms and remembered every promises was given to her, and she pondered those things and kept them in her heart. You see, we have been given something by God that we refuse to use, and that's our heart. We refuse to keep things in our heart and have them there. You are, and I'm going to tell you who you are in a minute, but I'll just tell you really quickly, you are a child of God. You want to hear something? God confirmed this message today. I'm driving up the freeway after I dropped my brother off at the MacArthur BART station, which takes twists and turns and everything to get to it off of 880, you know. And then my brother's going the whole time, you know, turn here, turn here, turn here. And I said, be quiet. I'm already nervous over in this part of Oakland. It's crazy. Everywhere you got to turn left, go there. You know, all this Martin Luther King Freeway, 42nd Avenue, turn left, do a U-turn at 52nd. And I'm going, ah! I was losing my identity as a pastor. But I'm driving, you know, and I'm driving, you know, and I'm coming down 80, getting close to San Pablo Road, turn off, Solano, past that, San Pablo, the D word road. I'm just having fun. And so literally, you know, so just in case anybody on Facebook, it's San Pablo Dam Road, by the way. So this fancy, beautiful Chrysler Cougar, whatever it was, white, all black tinted windows, man. This thing was sharp looking. You know, and I'm driving in my little Volkswagen, you know. And he comes by me, and I look at his license plate. Son of God. Awesome. Couldn't be of in there because there's too many words, so he said, Son F God. And I said, thank you, Jesus. He knew who he was. He had it on his license plate. You see what I'm saying? We have to be walking advertisements of who we are. You know, we have a vision statement here. A mission and vision statement at this church. You know, it's up. You can see that. It's up there. But, you know, mission and vision statements are a dime a dozen unless you do what they say they are supposed to do. And so as a church, we need to be living on our vision statement or rework the vision statement and the mission statement to make it a functional statement that brings people to church. Like the one I was talking about over there in San Francisco with Edwin McManus Jr. He's the pastor over there. making Jesus popular. I met with a pastor last week talking about identities and what his identity. I said, what is your identity? You're a huge church. You have huge vision. What is your identity? We have to have identity as the body of Christ, as every church needs its own personal identity of who they are representing and what they're doing with the name of Jesus Christ in the neighborhood where they're at. My point is this, church. I'm challenging us to have the right identity to live out any mission or vision statement. But we have to do something. And I'm not here scolding us that we're not identifying with. But, you know, I wish we could get a mission statement and a vision statement like they have over there in San Francisco at Edward McManus Jr.'s church. Making Jesus popular. You know, instead of a paragraph. Mission statements can be a dime a dozen. I've heard this for years. I've written mission statements over and over for other churches and vision statements. I've taught pastors how to do it. But they're a dime a dozen unless you react to them. Unless you react to them. Unless you do what God wants you to do. And you're doing that. Individually, we have to have an identity before we can be an identity in a church. We have to be Christians. We have to know what Christianity means. We have to know how great it is. And, you know, you have to know what it is to serve God. You know, I know exactly who I am in the kingdom. And please, I want you to know that I know who I am. I know what my gifts are and what my gifts are not. And I stay away from my gifts that I don't have. Because I pull people around me that have those gifts so it can be structured in a great way. Amen. And so I know my gifts. I know who I am. I know what I am in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that. And I spend time every day with God. Every day I spend time with God. Every day. And can I say this? Because you know what? He doesn't mind that I say it this way. He is really cool. He really is. He's a great friend. Even when I mess up, which is probably every other day and maybe every day, whatever, probably every day, when I mess up somehow or another, he loves me.
That's right.
Amen. He loves me. He loves you. He cares about us. God knows who he is. And we describe him sometimes as this big ogre, this mean God that all of a sudden we fell in sin and he's going to beat us down, man, if we don't get up. He cares about us. You know what I tell people when they come to me when they're freaking out about what they did? I said, guess what? When he saved you, he knew that day was coming. So hang in there. Don't give up on God because he has not given up on you. So who am I? You need to understand that. Who are you? Who am you? Who are you? Who are you? Who, you know, you have to find that out. And don't get on any egos about yourself, who you think you are. Know who you are. Because when you know who you are in God, you are very humble. Arrogant Christians are a bummer to God. They're a bummer to church. And it's not all about you ever. It's always about Jesus.
Amen.
I got a little preachy, didn't I? I feel good to say that. So I want you to turn with me now and let's spend some time in the scripture. Over to 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. Let me read this to you. But you are a chosen race. The bottom line is you have to understand you're chosen. There's the big word in that sentence right there, that the beginning of that sentence. You are chosen. God chose you. You didn't choose God. God chose you. God heard your prayer when you said, I'm a sinner. And you're a savior. I need forgiveness. And you're the only one that can do it. And I believe that you are the only begotten Son of God. And rinse, you're clean, you're saved. All the old things are gone away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. They're all gone. And behold, you're brand new. You got a new identity. I'm not Dennis Adams before salvation. I'm Dennis Adams after salvation. You know, I thought for a long time I was in this identity together that I was an evangelist. I do evangelize. Don't misunderstand me. But I made this a self-centered identity. So I booked all these revivals all over California, Nevada. I wrote 71 letters out on a Royal typewriter with a black and white ribbon. It tells you how old I am. I'm typing right away. I got them all sent. I had a radio station in Watsonville. I would be preaching as people going to Sunday school. They'd turn on. They'd hear me preaching on the radio station. I was building my kingdom. You guys don't mind a little honesty, do you? I was building my kingdom. I was getting revivals. I made up cards. And I don't like cards. I haven't had business cards for years. When people get business cards or a church buys me business cards, they go right in the business card drawer. First of all, because you carry them in your pocket and they get wrinkled. And I'm too OCD about something wrinkled. I'm not going to hand somebody an old wrinkled card, you know. I mean, if you're going to give me a business card, make them out of platinum or something like that where they cannot bend. But anyhow, I was building my kingdom. I was got this going and doing all this stuff. And my wife sees the business card on the table. And she says, when did you become an evangelist? I said, the day I got saved, honey. She said, so you're going to book all these revivals and you're going to be gone almost the whole year. And you know we have two cars. One's broken and you're going to need the other one. And you didn't talk to me about this. Now, I'm doing a hoorah for the wives here. You didn't talk to me about this. You just did this. And I said, yeah. Yeah. Bam. God got a hold of me. I was doing that without checking with part of my identity. See, you see, when you get married, you become of one flesh. I was making decisions, and she's got a little Aloha and little Jonas, little Mikey. Aaron hadn't come yet. So, you know, and she's got all these kids. We're living in a house that I can't even afford to pay the rent. It was a miracle house. Overseeing Corralitos, California. Seeing the ocean. It was gorgeous on 2 acres. It was great. I couldn't afford to pay the rent. I was doing work there to try to pay the rent on the property. Planting trees and everything else. I just lost my antique business, lost every kind of income I had, and I made cards without talking to my wife because I was building my kingdom. So what I'm trying to do is help you here is watch yourself as you're walking with God that you don't build your own kingdom in His name. It's His kingdom, and you should be honored as I am honored to walk and serve in His kingdom. Well, a year later, after doing these revivals and stuff, I had great success. Don't misunderstand. And I made sure she had a car. And I felt horrible every time I left. Called her every day I was gone. But the Lord said, you're no longer to be doing this because it's not your kingdom, it's mine. You need to be a pastor. You need to be a developer. You need to help people. You need to pray for people. You need to embrace people. You need to mentor people. You need to just be in their life and love them because I've got people out there that are coming into my kingdom that don't know how to be loved. And there are shepherds out there, he said, in my spirit, that don't know how to shepherd my people, and they're destroying them. So I switched over, and I never made a business card that said, Pastor Dennis Adams. I never made another card. I just don't do it. I just don't. But the point of it is, I want to know who I am. I'm chosen. Gami, Pastor Becky, Pastor Will, Pastor Gami, excuse me. We are all chosen. All of you that don't have a name tag in front of it, and by the way, I don't like name tags. You know that labels. I don't call me Dennis. It says you and I, we're all have an identity with God. Amen. Praise God. They have an identity. And let's go on here. A royal priesthood. We got royal blood in us. So quit walking around like you're in poverty all the time. Poor me. Oh, little me. You're not little me. You're great me. You're not poor me. You got royal blood. You belong to a royal family of God. Lift up your chin. Pull your shoulders back and walk like you own this place, what you're serving in and where you're going with. It's God has gifted you with an empowerment of praise and worship. He's called you to pray. He's given you the opportunity to own gifts of the Spirit. He is your, Jesus is your brother.
Amen.
Walk like it. Act like it. And if you're going through a struggle, don't let the struggle go through you. Put the struggle around you, but it is not going through you, because in you is the Holy Ghost. Am I helping anybody?
Yes.
You're a consecrated nation. In other words, you're set apart. You're a special people to God. Special. For God's own possession, so that you may do something. Proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are to show all that God is in our life. We are to be walking advertisements of the kingdom of God. This is who God is to me. Oh, I know people come all around all the time, and when you see them coming, you're wanting to go the other way, and you can't because you're a Christian, you're born again, and you can't do that, but they're going to come and lay a neg on you, man, a negative. They're going to just speak something down and crazy and, you know, this never happens to me and all the other stuff. Try to talk some faith into them. Speak some faith into their life. Try to tell them who God is in their life. Build them up. Build them up. Don't let them tear you down. Build them up. You know, Nehemiah went to do something fabulous to build a whole wall in Jerusalem back up. He went to do that. He pulled the whole city in, but there was people there like Sanballat and Tobiah. They did not want him to do it, and they were negative towards him. He said, I'm too busy to come down off this wall to deal with you. He knew the king had given him permission. Can I be some spiritual words here right now? The king has given you permission to help build the kingdom of God. That's who he's done for us. And we're supposed to show this marvelous light. Some Christians, I think that they got the dim switch or something. They're not showing any light. They're so dark, it's crazy. You know, what? Be a Christian wherever you're at. People should ask you and I, wow, what's making you so happy? Why are you so happy? Well, because Jesus is in my life. So in other words, we all, how many, does anybody ever have a problem? We all have problems. Problems show up when you wake up. And they stand by when you go to bed. And when you wake up, they show up. Emails bring you problems. Texts bring you problems. You know, these smartphones, I think some of you made it may have been really smart, but it's made us pretty dumb sometimes because it kind of controls our life. We need to be able to always know every morning when you wake up, I am a child of God. That's my identity. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm born again. Jesus is my brother. And he said, once you were not a people, though. And I want you to look for a moment. I'm not going to preach on me not being not a people, because that's a whole hours of testimony. But every time I read that scripture, I think, I was not a people. I was a bad human being. At all. There was no good in me. Now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy every day. And I'm gonna bring this to a close now, because I think I stirred you enough. I hope I have. But let me read this scripture to you. I love the book of Romans, by the way. I love the Bible, by the way. I read the Bible every year, by the way. Every day, I read the Bible because I think the Bible's really cool. It's got the best stories. Amen. You know, the bad guy gets beat up? I love that. The good guy wins? I love that. They killed the best guy. He showed up 3 days later as the really best guy. He showed up. Hey, here I am. And all his deserting disciples were in a room, and he didn't even care. He just showed up in the room. I love that. You know, that's what I'm saying to you. Jesus just shows up. He doesn't come through a door. He doesn't call you on the phone. I mean, if I got a phone call from Jesus, I would freak out. If I knew it was him and he called me and said, hey, this is Jesus. I'm in town today. I'd like to meet with you over there at La Piñata in Hayward. You know, I'm sure he eats Mexican food, by the way. But anyhow, I would freak out. Amen. I mean, I know that God's not going to put an angel in front of me. And I know that's a negative confession. No, it's not. I know that I'm not going to be walking down the street that so many people have confessed about, that they're walking down the street and an angel shows up and tells them all about heaven and earth and who they are and how wonderful they are. And then they dispense. I would freak out. You'd have to peel me off the sidewalk with a potato peeler. I mean, I would freak out before he left or she left or whatever it was. I don't know. There's no sex in heaven, so I'm just saying it all there. Whatever it is, whatever it is, I would say, can we get a selfie? I would just, you know, I'm not a big selfie person, as you know. I'm not a big Facebook person. I'm not, you know, I'm more Instagram and more Twitter type guy. But I would definitely do the selfie thing. I would just think that would be cool. You know, I would have that picture on my TV screen as a TV screensaver, the whole thing, you know. But I am saying that God is in my heart. He's in my words. He's in my thoughts. He's in my actions. He's in my decisions. I want to be a good husband to my wife. I want to be a good father to my children. I want to be a great grandfather, or as they call me, Poppy, to my grandchildren. I want to be all that so Jesus can be represented well. For as many as are, at Romans 8, 14 through 17, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, it's not trying to be gender rich there for just male. That's just how the Bible's written. So you have to, if you study out the Bible, you will find that where these things are written, it is gender free. Sons of God. How do you feel today? What's your identity? Think about that. I don't want to be known as an Adams. I want to be known as a child of God. I want to be known like that. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, which means a very familiar statement to God. You are really saying, Father, Father. You are grabbing a hold of Him. You are saying, I'm part of the family. We're there. I really understand who you are. You have blessed me. He said, because the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Each and every one of us in this room today have an identity, the children of God. That guy drove by me in that car. Son of God. Wow. Son of God. We are the children of God. Amen. You don't have a ministry. All of you feel like you're called into the ministry, and I say feel like you're called. You know, you're still designing your ministry. Some of you are just really starting to sprout up. And I love that. You wouldn't have that lest it be for God. God's the only one who called me. He called me. He called me. And I had to be developed. You know, I'm not going to go down there. But when my first pastor, I was called. You know, you think I'm radical now. I was even radical then. But so I had this big old black Bible. I knocked on my first pastor's door. He opened it up in Watsonville, California. I just bought a Ryrie Bible for $65, black leather, gold trim. I had that thing in my hand, and I said, when can I preach? What am I preaching? Come on now, I'm going to preach. When? I don't know. It's going to be a long time. So just back down a little bit. Amen. He finds who, he knows who you are, and he'll get you to the place who you will find out who you are. Because you know why? He wants you to realize what your identity is. What your identity is. I love this close. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. He's our brother. He's sharing everything with us. Everything. I've heard a lot of families got a lot of wealthy family members and they don't share anything with them. Jesus is going to give us everything. Do you know who you are? Not only as an individual, but a person in the kingdom of God and also a person in a church. Your identity is very important to God. Very important. So I really want you to think this morning and get this into your heart.